Welcome to part two of our conversation with Jeff Conkle about memories that don't fade. A lot of times when people have haunting experiences or an encounter of some sort, it's certainly scary. It's certainly something that you remember, certainly something that can bring on nightmares, something that you will never forget.
I still have them sometimes when I talk about this. Now, probably sure. Tonight I will have a nightmare.
Sure.
You know?
My question would be, when you go through an experience like that, not everybody has the added element, though, of the extreme strength or force that what you had in this house seemed to have had all the way back from the BBs. You know, it's one thing if a kid is tossing BBs out a window and it plinks off a windshield. Typically, it's not going to do much damage, if any, other than make a little plink sound on somebody's windshield and they go, what the hell? But when it literally shatters, that's as if it was launched from the gun. When you have knives jammed into cupboards, there's force there. When your stepfather is pulled off the bed, that obviously it demonstrates an extreme strength and force that many hauntings are without. That force can be obviously very threatening because it seems to supersede what we could do as humans. As you began to find more interest in this and as you got older and you wanted to find more answers, was that in the back of your mind at all? Were you at all fearful of the force that you witnessed more so than other people that you came across who maybe had an interest as well, maybe had experiences, but were not firsthand witnesses to the force of which some of these things have?
Okay. Yeah. Well, For a long time, anytime I ever asked anybody, before I even went in and did an investigation, I asked these stupid questions.
Yeah.
They weren't stupid for me, but they sound outrageous for the person that I'm going in investigating for.
Sure.
Because I was definitely afraid of seeing an apparition or anything like that that had red eyes.
Okay.
And my question, every time that I went into this, I said, so, okay, you're seeing full-bodied apparitions, which is very rare. I didn't know this at the time when I was doing it.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I go, okay, I didn't ask if it had red eyes. I said, did you happen to see their eyes or their facial features, or anything like that? And most of them, telling me they're black and whatever, which was fine with me, but my fear throughout all the time I've ever did any paranormal investigations was actually coming across something with red eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my ultimate fear. And, because I know what it did to me and I know what it caused and I know the pain and the mental drain that it had on everybody in that house and knew what it could do.
Sure.
That was my fear. So, I as being who I am today, I'm 51 years old. Okay, I build paranormal equipment. I look for it. And to think that I am going to see that entity or whatever that was with the red eyes again, I don't know if it's few and far between, but I think I'm ready for it now. I think I am, because to me, I don't know what it was or if it was spawned out of the pits of hell. Who knows? But, there was witchcraft performed, and I don't know how that would go on nowadays from then. I didn't ask about the house now, and I never will because I don't want to know what's going on there. I will probably never go back there, but because I just don't want to drum up a past thing and then possibly bring it home with me.
Sure.
That would be the worst, Because, it tends to, if you go back to a place like that, from what I understand, and this thing remembers you, sometimes people do get attachments and they follow them home. But to me, it was an eye opener when you were a kid.
Sure.
Okay. And I could sit here and talk about things like that, that thing all day long. But, you're actually only the second person I've ever told this to.
Oh.
Besides Scott.
Sure.
Okay. I don't talk about it much.
Yeah.
Because, it's so outrageous. People sit there and would think, oh, my God, what kind of freaking story is this? Are you trying to just No, it's not a story.
No.
I mean, I could sit here and see it in my head when I tell you it.
Sure.
It's something that's mapped in there, and it will always be burnt like a freaking picture in my head.
Yeah.
And it's always there. It will never go away, you know? And sometimes I do dream about it, but it's not rare because I don't talk about it. But
sure.
I've talked about it. Who knows? I could have bad dreams about this for a week.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got to be prepared for it.
When,
you know, it's just,
when these things are doing what they're doing and they're causing the torment to a family, and this is kind of a retrospectively looking at it question, all these years later and all the experiences that you've had from investigating, when you look at this, the experiences that you and your family went through, and also adding in the experiences that you've had throughout your adult life, do you think or do you have any evidence that these darker spirits, whether it be, you know, as you kind of jokingly said, you know, either from the pits of hell or it was something very negative, you know, they're obviously, I'm sure you've come across where there's just, you know, asshole spirits that were not demonic, but they were really shitty people in life, and in death they're the same shitty people. Do you ever feel or do you believe that these spirits that are of that mindset, can they ever do true physical harm to a person other than like knocking them down or a door in their face or pulling off a bed? Or is their goal more so that of they know the psychological damage they can do is going to be 10 times worse long term? They're playing the long term game here versus I burned you and that burn will, you know, it'll heal, that cut will heal, but that memory that seared into your brain of what you went through, they know that that's going to be far more powerful
enough. That is total pain right there.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you could push somebody down a flight of stairs, you could scratch them, you can create a burn mark on their back.
Yeah.
You can throw things across the room, you can have poltergeist activity.
Yeah,
but mentally doing what I don't know if it was a he, she, it, or whatever it was. Mentally, I'll just say he. Okay. Mentally, what he physically, mentally did to us and physically showed us,
yeah,
was enough to say this is in our 3D world. You know, why is this happening? This is not possible.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. How could this be? Well, you know, as you know, the spirit or whatever would be on the other side looking at you going, I know this, but you don't know that, so check this shit out.
Yeah.
You know, causing these, and I think mentally it's more hurt than anything else, the mental part of it. Because look at me, I'm from 12 years old, I'm 51 years old, and I'm
sure
still afraid every once in a while about this. So that's what it did.
Yeah.
You know? It created that door, that proverbial red door in my head where I pack it in there and close it off.
Mm-hmm.
And now I opened it and talked about it. Now I'm going to shove it all back in there after this is over, and I'm going to close that door again.
Sure.
You know, and I'll continue on with what I do. But as per anybody who's ever had a paranormal experience, good or bad, I'm not saying, but it's there. It will mentally and physically be there with you for the rest of your life.
Sure.
So I don't know if it's more of the scratch or the push technique as much it is the mental, because they do know how to mentally mess with you.
Sure.
And you know, it's not a pretty thing sometimes. You know, we've done investigations, me and Scott. You know, we've done investigations. We have one place that we go to all the time because it's very, very active, and we knew it from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, to have a, you know, a black mass and, you know, the black and the white. Yeah. Okay. You get a dark mass, you get a white misty form. And there's two of these people, we call them transparent Americans, that live in this building. You know, the place hasn't been touched, we think, since the 1920s.
Yeah.
It's still in the original shape it was, and, you know, plaster falling off the ceilings, the whole nine yards. They couldn't store anything in there because they couldn't bring it up to date.
Yeah.
So it's basically just a stairwell that goes up to what we found out was lodging back in 1902. Mm-hmm. And there is two spirits up in there, and just to see them, you know, people, I have a different belief sometimes in, you know, in a dark mass and a white mass and angry as well as, you know, just something that's cruising by or, you know, doesn't have a, how do I say it? To say it, which I'm not acting as crazy as I am, but, you know, I've had this dark mass in this building is telling us not to go. Okay, as well as the white mass in this building, which we know is a female.
Mm-hmm.
I've caught pictures of it standing as we're leaving at the top of the stairs. It's not like it's out there to hurt us as much as, hey, you started talking to us here now. We haven't had anybody do that. Never have had anybody do that to us. Now you're leaving. You know, it's a fact now that they have a line of communication.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you first go into this place, you'll understand immediately because they're like, they're actually like, as you would call, lost puppies.
Yeah.
You know, they're a puppy that runs right up to you and you can physically hear it. I'm shit you not, my friend. They want it.
Yeah.
And they want to be talked to sometimes. Then you get those ones that are pissed,
mm-hmm.
utterly pissed because they're tired. And they, you know, and things that have happened, you know,
yeah.
I don't know what had happened in the house that I was in. I don't care to know, but you know, there are ones that get upset and don't want to have anything to do with anybody.
Sure.
You know, and then they start creating this havoc and scaring you and making you leave. And that's the only way they have the ability to show what they can do.
Yeah.
But you know, I've been doing it a while and at least a couple of days. I don't know. I'm still searching, my friend. I'm still looking for that one piece, that one total, complete, sit-down, full sentence. You know, why?
And always ending up with more questions than answers, I'm sure. Exactly. I mean, it's the nature of what this is, and that's what makes it the rabbit hole that it is for all of us. Has anyone ever, anyone else ever lived on the property that you had spent those 2 months in as a child after you left?
I don't know. We never went back there, but my aunt says, you know, she had sent me the pictures of the house now because the outside of the home was like a wood siding.
Okay.
When we were there. When we were young, that was back in the 80s, it was old, you know, we're like a kind of a rustic wood thing type going on.
Sure.
You know, and now it's like a tan color. Windows are all redone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anything has ever happened in the place. I don't care to know.
Yeah.
But she, you know, she's like, because she knew, you know, she's still alive.
Yeah.
And she knew what happened at house because we ended up at her house after this was all said and done.
Yeah.
You know, she was even afraid to go by there to take pictures, but I asked.
Sure.
And she did it to me, you know, the outside, and just so I could see what had become of the house.
Yeah.
And, you know, and apparently it's all been remodeled, you know, it's there.
I guess I'm curious. I'm curious as to your response on that of not, you just said that, you know, I don't know if anything else has happened in there and I don't. Maybe I don't want to misquote you, but essentially to the effect of you don't want to know. I'm curious about that response. Why, with everything that happened to you and with your interest in the topic, your passion on the topic and trying to essentially have a complete sentence on it, why is it that you don't want to know the answer to that question? Even if it was presented to you, if you had those people in the same room with you, would you ask them about the house?
You know what? Be honest with you, out of one thing that scared me out of my whole entire life,
mm-hmm.
that is one thing I don't want to relive.
Okay.
And I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
It's just one thing that, I don't know if it's embedded in my brain as to this thing saying to me, don't come back, don't talk about it, don't do this, don't do that, or I'm coming for you.
Sure.
Type scenario. That's always been there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It always has been there. I mean, I'm 51 years old now.
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't be thinking this way anymore. I should be more logical. It's more like, all right, let's get on a plane. Let's go to Illinois and ask these people. what's going on here?
Yeah.
You know, but it's up to me. As soon as I would hit that front porch, I think, mm-hmm. I would probably turn around.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I would, because of what it did to me mentally.
Yeah.
I don't think I can handle going in there and having something. I mean, even if the place is calmed down now.
Yeah.
You know, why would I want to go back into a place like that
yeah.
and possibly stir something back up that's been dormant for yeah. some odd years?
Well, and more importantly, it doesn't undo the damage that it did for you. I mean, even if it is calm and everything is peaceful now, it doesn't erase your past and your history. That still is there for you, and it's still going to be.
Oh, yeah.
It's nothing that
thrilled.
Yeah, it's nothing that showing back up or hearing the story of someone else saying, "No, my house was perfect," it is going to change.
Exactly.
For you. Let's close on this. I'm just curious, and this is something more so an observation and opinion based on all your years of research and investigating. Do you think spirits that have been in a home like that or properties like this, whether it be this one specifically or other places that you've investigated that are extremely active to the point of it's causing psychological damage and people simply need to get the hell out of there if they want an immediate fix. Is there ever a way to truly make peace with a property like this and fully eradicate it of the activity? Or are there just places that really, even if you did fight the long, you know, many, many year battle, you'd still lose? That there's just places that are essentially, they're infected. There's no way of fixing this infection. There's no antidote. There's no cure. The property either is abandoned and destroyed, or you just shouldn't be here. People are not meant to be here. So is there a way to eradicate things like that, or there's sometimes just there's no way to do it?
Just let it be. I mean,
yeah.
To me and Scott, we've always thought that, you know, maybe we can coexist with whatever people are having, you know, problems in their houses. I mean, if there's things moving, objects being out of place.
Sure.
I mean, there's also what they call a sit down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could physically sit and says, "Hey, you know what? I know you're here.
Sure.
I know you're in the home, and I want to be able to coexist with you. I want you to understand that I know that you exist. I think you're upset. I don't know, but you need to tell me.
Yeah.
What you want, or not what you want, but what you feel we need to do to coexist." And, you know, most of the time, I would think a lot of people, you know, if they do believe that way, then maybe you can. But there's also that one that has been around for so long and so tired of everything and anything and everybody that just wants to be let alone.
Yeah.
We call him the grumpy old man. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just put him as the grumpy old man. He wants to be left alone. And I think that's the way it should be. You know, I still got a long way to go in this research. I've still got a lot of things I'm still working on.
Sure.
You know, and still wanting to know. But that's typical of, you know, every paranormal investigator.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody out there, everybody I've ever talked to, I've been on a radio show maybe three times. I don't go on these things much. I tend to stay, you know, in the shadows a little bit.
Sure.
To every paranormal investigator out there, they know this. They know, you know, when something wants to be left alone and when something wants to be communicated with.
Yeah.
You know, just like you know this. When you go into a haunted place, you're looking at this, and when you get the bangs and the doors closing, to me, the bangs and the doors closing and the knocking on the walls, you know, the things that, because you knock, they knock back. These are forms of communication, okay? That means that these entities or these spirits or these people, I would call them people, they're still people. They want to communicate. They want, oh, God, they know I'm here. Oh, geez.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm right here. Bing, 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 bang, 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 you know? But then you get the ones that are like the typical get out on an EVP. You know, I think that maybe you should respect that, not because, you know, then things turn, you know, kind of sideways. I would think that they would turn sideways. And why would you want that to turn sideways? You know, if you respect them, they respect you.
That wraps up the second part of our conversation with Jeff Conkle about memories that don't fade. Thank you for being a supporter of our program, a gravekeeper, and keeping us on the air. We could not do the show without your support. Until next time for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Brisky. Thanks for listening.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.